come down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One is almost surprised this morning in the Gospel to see the Son of God balk for a moment when he is asked to come down. Of course, what he's looking for when he comes down into our soul is just that kind of faith which breeds confidence and trust in God. But it's surprising still, because the last time someone asked him to come down, a father did, he was most willing to do so. It was his Father in heaven to come down to this earth because his children were at the point of death. And he went in the fullness of time. He obeyed. It would not have been enough to send an angel or to give a command. His personal presence was required. Indeed, as soon as the sickness showed itself with a serpent bite in the garden, original sin, mortal sin, the Father spoke with all confidence for his Son. He will come down, he promised. So he did at the incarnation. And at the nativity, it was for all of the world to see, as we say at the last gospel, for we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we, in gratitude, go down on our knees and adore the God who came down to save us. Something about Christmas seems to demand a personal presence, doesn't it? And wherever we are, we automatically almost want to come down to wherever our family is. I've got to get back down to see my family. It's Christmas. It may have been a long time, and you may have wandered far, but it's Christmas. I've got to get back down to my church, because our Lord comes down on the altar there at Holy Mass to worship Christ, the newborn King. And all of this because he came down, not just once. We reviewed this just at Corpus Christi, remember, in the cave of Bethlehem's midnight, but at every Mass. That is why you could very well sing Christmas carols, as we're doing this morning, at every Mass throughout the year. The divine person coming down from the Father of lights, surpassing the stars in their brightness, and countless hosts of angels singing his coming. A cousin of mine, many years ago, married a Portuguese naval officer, and at some point they invited a young relative of his from Portugal to spend Christmas with them, and the family was keeping their Christmas at Sarasota in a condominium on the ocean front. It was obviously a very distinctly American-style Christmas, and the little boy, he was 12 years old, had never seen such an astonishing array of presents, and his eyes were wide at all of these glorious gifts. Someone had given him, or he thought to bring with him, a little fold-up cardboard creche. In Portugal, they call it the presépio. And he had it with him. And probably, I'm afraid, that's about the most religion he had that day. Well, someone asked him, what did he think of his American Christmas as they were on their way into dinner? He acknowledged that he had never seen so many presents before in all his life. But he said with a little shy smile that he missed the presépio, the real one that we have back home. And he said, I wish I could be home myself to celebrate the birthday of baby Jesus. Sums it up in a way, doesn't it? This sense of what Christmas is and a child's good sense. Sometimes the innocence of children will out and they'll just blurt out the truth, won't they? And children, parents, grandparents, remember, are not necessarily wowed or won by tons and tons of toys and games and gadgets. They may be just missing the baby Jesus in your home. After all, it is his birthday. Ask that little child in your family, or ask the angel who is your guardian at your shoulder, or ask the baby Jesus to lead you when you pray the third of your joyful mysteries in the rosary. Have you ever noticed the link among them? Like beads on the rosary chain, I mean the connection of Christmas and children and angels. And that certain something that makes us want, as I say, to head for home, and the home of the baby Jesus too, our church. And it makes us as well remember to share this day with the angels. Something about Christmas for a day or two softens the hardest hearts. It makes souls soar the way the greatest of feast days, Easter, doesn't even seem able to for us. And all of this because the Son obeyed his Father. He came down. Of all of the 15 mysteries of the rosary, the Nativity calls on us especially to do that, to obey, to come down, to be there at the crib. It seems Christmas requires a personal presence. So it wouldn't do for your mind to be a million miles away. Ask the angels to help you pray, won't you? And it's a joy to know, especially when you've gotten to the 10th bead and you think to yourself, what have I been thinking of in this decade? It is a joy to know how well the angels serve God and how happy they are to pray in our name and to have our love, because their hearts overflow with love. They are most of all in love with the divine child. Interesting, though, the holy baby Jesus was the test for the angels. You can think of this sometimes when you say the third joyful mystery. Would they humble themselves if God's Son were to take a nature beneath them, a human nature, and become man? Proud Lucifer rebelled. That would be beneath me. Michael steps forward, and in obedience to God's command, he puts Lucifer and the rebel angels beneath him, down, down into hell they go. Remember, too, how the Venerable Agreda teaches us that it was the angels' privilege, by means of their leaders, Michael and Gabriel, to be there in the crib, in the cave of Bethlehem, and how they stood at some distance in human appearance, shining with light, with great reverence, waiting for the light of light, like a light passing the window, to pass through the virginal womb of the Mother of God, and then most reverently to receive and then to show to the Divine Mother the refulgent Son of God, just as a priest shows the chalice and the host, the Son of God, at the elevation of every Mass. And then consider, too, in your meditation, how all of heaven's court was emptied at that midnight, like a shopping mall on Sunday, on Christmas morning. Once for a change, there's nobody there. And there was no one home at heaven, because all of heaven had crowded into that stable at Bethlehem. The angels were there, practicing in sweet, sonorous tones their Gloria, and all of them were transfixed with the grace and with the beauty of the young 15-year-old Mother of God. And then very soon it's time, the story goes on, to summon Joseph out of the sweet slumber of his ecstasy. And he comes and he adores. And then he helps Our Lady to wrap the baby in the swaddling clothes. And then an ox gets up from outside and he lumbers in with haste to take his privileged post next to the crib. Our Lady says, "Now, animals, you adore our Lord as best you can." And they do. And they warm the little baby, the cold night air, with their breath, something which cold-hearted men had refused to do a few hours before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.